more resources than they're entitled to. We have to have bike lanes, we have to have bike lanes, we have to have this and this and this. One, we need bridges.
Okay, are we ready to call this to order? Are we ready? All right, good evening. Welcome to the May 13th, 2015 Board of Directors meeting for the Oceana Community Services District. Karen, can I ask you to lead us in the flag salute, please?
Attention, pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Marie, can I ask for a roll call, please?
Of course. Director Angelo?
Here.
Director Blackburn?
Here.
Director Guerrero?
I'm present.
Vice President White?
Here.
President Lucy?
Here. Thank you. Agenda review. Does anybody have anything they'd like to add to the agenda, change on the agenda? Mr. Ogren?
Yes. President Lucy, based on some of the discussions with individual board members, I recommend that item 9C, which is authorization for a will serve letter to Gallegos, be moved to board business items.
That's Gallegos.
What is it?
Gallegos. Yeah.
Gallegos. Thank
10C, you. Would that be, sir?
Then that
it's
would
9C.
Be, yeah, 9C moving to 10C. And then also, prior to taking public comment on the consent agenda, I have a clarifying statement on 9E at the appropriate time.
Yeah, so you want to make a statement there?
Yeah, just prior to taking public comment on the consent.
All right. Does anybody else have anything they'd like to offer to the agenda tonight?
No.
Okay. No. Hearing none, I'd entertain a motion to accept the agenda.
I'll move to approve as modified.
Second.
Okay.
I think Lori got there first.
Lori got there first.
Yeah.
Do you want to do a roll call, Marie?
Director Guerrero?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Director Blackburn?
Yes.
Vice President White?
Yes.
President Lucy?
Yes. Thank you. Okay. Right now we'll hear matters from the public that are not on the agenda. So public comment.
Good evening. I'm Julie Tacker, and my first concern is the actual agenda itself. You know those boxes that we've talked about in the past and how they're a little bit confusing? They've moved on the agenda. So now it looks like we can speak after the board considers the item and takes action. So I know that's not what's intended, but that's how it's laid out, and it's backwards. So I hope that's remedied during the course of the meeting. And then the only thing that I wanted to speak to for items that are not on the agenda is the Rail Spur project. Some weeks ago, you had some activists here from the Napomo Mesa asking that your board consider taking a position on the project. I will inform you, I don't know if you know, but the cities of Arroyo Grande, Grover Beach, Pismo Beach have all agendized the project applicant and its opponents in discussions in front of their boards, be facilitating a forum for the communities to discuss the project, and I don't see why you don't do the same. You are at ground zero for that project. You are the closest geographically to the refinery, and you very well could be affected by the impacts of that project and at least identify your own facilities, the district's facilities. These are public facilities that could be impacted by an accident or even just the daily vibration of the train going by. You guys hear it every day now, but you know, what does it mean when we have increased train traffic on these tracks so close to the district's facilities? I do hope you agendize a discussion.
Thank you, Ms. Tucker. We had discussed moving public comment after the items, and that was intended, correct?
No, we, before your board acts on the items, we do need to take public comment.
Correct.
Yeah.
But the public comment is below the discussion.
No, that's just a clarifier on when public, it's
okay.
All part of nine, but you do need to take it prior to your board's consideration of the consent agenda. And likewise, the box under 10, you do need to take public comment prior to your board's consideration.
Okay. That's what I thought. Okay, so moving on. Special presentations. Do we have a special presentation tonight?
Is there any more public comment on items not on the agenda?
Oh, I'm sure somebody would have stepped up. Excuse me, Mr. Edwards, I apologize. For items not on the agenda.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, Ms. Lucy, board members. Good evening. My name is Jeff Edwards, and I'd like to title this chat, How Quick Time Flies. And as you may or may not know, you're approaching the one-year anniversary of hiring Mr. Ogren as your general manager. And that's significant for a couple reasons. One, he gets a raise. You may know about the scheduled 2.5% raise. That's on top of his $196,000 annual salary, running it to well over $200,000. And for $1,000 a day, I think it's worthwhile to ask a couple questions. One, who does Mr. Ogren really work for? It appears to me to be an outstanding question. There's, of course, Pismo Beach. That's certainly one candidate. His former employer, the San Luis Obispo County Public Works Department, there are some real interesting questions there. Is it the NCMA or the CCWA? But fundamentally, is it Oceano? And I have reservations about that. Secondly, is what are you paying Mr. Ogren for? Are you paying him for regional water planning? Because that appears to be partly what he's doing with his time. Are you paying him to apply for grants, drainage grants? You may know about the earworm grant for LID, low impact development drainage projects. Putting water into high groundwater areas typically doesn't work very well. This is a project that was contemplated by Mr. Ogren when he was the public works director at the county. So what is he really doing? You may remember at your last meeting, he had a letter on the Paso Robles groundwater basin, recycled water, and talked about regional management of water. If you needed a regional manager, maybe he'd have been a good candidate, but you don't need a manager for regional purposes. I'm sorry. You need somebody to do your infrastructure pro forma. Remember that? The water master plan, the hazard mitigation plan. If you remember, when you hired Mr. Ogren, you were going to be reducing your legal fees substantially. Well, on your warrants tonight, $15,000 to Mr. Minery's firm. That's not reducing legal fees. So as you approach the one-year anniversary of Mr. Ogren's contract here, remember that there will only be, 48 months minus 12, 36, 3 years left. You'll be hearing about succession planning fairly soon. I think it's worth considering. Thank you.
And Mr. Edwards, I'd like to direct you to the webpage where the general manager's job description is posted. You can find it there for any reservations that you have. Okay. Moving right along, South County Sheriff's Department. Do we have a rep tonight? No? Okay. I guess everything's fine. Tony, Mr. Maricino.
Good evening, board. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. Tony Maricino. So as for Lopez Lake, it's at 37.7% full, which is equal to 18,618 acre feet of water. We had no reportable SSOs for the month of April. Since the beginning of the year to May 1st, we have been delivered 176 acre feet, and we've only pumped 45 acre feet for the year.
Great.
That was since when? I'm sorry.
Since the first of the year.
Okay.
And that is all state water being delivered to us at this time. We had 28 work orders. We had 12 USAs. We had 12 customer service calls. We've been cleaning sewer laterals, continue working on the CCR, which should be ready here shortly. It is due out by the 1st of July, but it's going out with the customer's billing, next billing cycle. It'll be in their bills. We had a water line break at 2300 Cienega that we had to replace the service. As you drove into our back parking lot, it had been caving in, so we had to cut out part of the driveway, excavate down, and then bring in base to recompact, and then got it repaved. If you noticed, a section of it was a little darker than the other side. I know.
I didn't notice.
We've had door hangers, we've had lock-offs, and we're continuing sewer cleaning at this time on the system. Any questions?
Well 8 all flushed up and running? And
Well 8 is back online and it's doing great.
Okay.
Great. Yes. Thank you very much for
Thank
that.
Thank you.
We really appreciate it.
Yes. Good work, Tony. Wait, is it true you have a new nickname? Rubber Ducky. Does that sound familiar?
That'll work. I can live with that.
For those that don't know, Tony rescued a bunch of ducks for the mama duck and out of the
Yes,
of the
I did get called by a resident that there was 4 baby ducks stuck in a storm drain and the mom was having a hard time with it. So I went out there and removed a storm drain cover and picked out the baby ducks.
Aww.
Thank you, Tony.
Yes, thank you.
Mother Nature thanks you. Mother Nature thanks you.
Oh, thank you.
As does your board.
Okay, great. Thank you. Mr. Chief Lieberman.
Afraid to touch that. Good evening, Madam President and Board Member Steve Lieberman. I'm your Fire Chief. I'm accompanied this evening by Battalion Chief Ricky Heath. Just some quick information to share with you. Month-to-date activity as of May 12, 92 calls this month altogether for the organization. Relatively quiet month so far, as I'm knocking on Formica. As far as activity-wise, it's sticking to the pretty standard distribution of call type. Our year-to-date numbers, based on this data, is 1,081 calls altogether. Wanted to share with you, I'll be ruining some of the surprise from our board meeting, which is scheduled for Friday at 10 a.m., but we are doing a little bit of due diligence on a couple of grant opportunities. They're smaller grants. One of them is a rural communities grant with a maximum grant award of $20,000, but that would allow us to start replacing some personal protective equipment, the turnout gear that the firefighters wear. That's anywhere between $2,500 and $2,800 a set, so that would be great. The second one is the California State Firefighters Association, or CSFA. That organization on their own secured a SAFER grant for part-time and volunteer recruitment and retention. They own the grant, they own the reporting of the grant, and they're offering firefighter physicals and turnout gear for up to 5 part-time employees. So another opportunity that we're doing some due diligence on. The Fleet Engine 1, which is the white 1996 high-tech engine, is at South Coast, which is a certified repair facility in Paso Robles. We're interested in putting that engine back into active frontline service, and with aging equipment, it had to pass the state pump test before we could pick it up, and unfortunately, a lot of valves due to inability to hold a vacuum in the pump testing. We're replacing a bunch of valves. We hope to get that back in the next few days. Engine 4, which is another 1996 high-tech, which originally came from this organization, is back in service after replacing several batteries. And Brush 1, which is our Type 3 or wildland engine, is out of service, one of the air tanks. Those are important because they're air brakes that stop the engine. needs a valve replacement. That part's on order. So we hope to have that back in service in the next couple of days as well. And just a reminder, board meeting is Friday at 10 a.m.
At Grover Beach.
Grover Beach City Hall. Thank you.
Thank you, Chief.
Thank you. And this is your draft preliminary budget that we have in front of us, correct?
I would think so. So the agenda has a couple of items, including the preliminary budget.
Okay, great. Thank you very much, sir. Outside committees, let's start with Director Angelo.
I did not attend any outside meetings.
Okay.
On April 27th, we did have an Oceano Advisory Council meeting where we did confirm with county staff regarding our preferences for the revitalization plan conceptual drawings. I have a stapled group of papers here that have the concepts, and I also have some printed on the back table there that has what our confirmations were out of the different options. It's kind of a long list, so I won't go through it right now, but that material is there, and you're welcome to talk to me too if you have any questions about it. I also attended the IRWM, the Integrated Regional Water Management Group, at the beginning of May, and I am pleased that the portfolio of projects that the committee came back with for the remaining Prop 84 grant monies did include two of our projects. One was the leak detection and mitigation plan, and the other one was a groundwater recharge plan for Oceano. And altogether, the project portfolio did equal the amount of funding that was available for the whole area, which was $4,900,000. But we did provide that project, so it will be in the running against, I believe, six other IRWM areas. And then the second part that we did was we started looking at the rest of the IRWM project list, and we got into different sub-area groups and tried to identify overlapping project elements and grouping agencies with similar priorities together so that we could, for the next round of grants for Prop 1 especially, but for some other ones as well, we could put together a nice package that would be good for going up against other areas as well. So, but that's $43 million for Central Coast funding for our six IRWM regions. So it's going to be a tough race there. But
and what was that amount again? I'm sorry.
The second it's
second pool.
Yeah, it's $43 million.
And that's basically Prop 1.
Yes.
I'm not sure.
Yeah,
I didn't actually write that part down.
That's right. The current funding round is the last of the Prop 84 money.
Yeah.
The next round is Prop 1. One of the important items of trying to get the planning grant for both the leak detection program as well as the groundwater recharge program is that then that would put us in a better position to try to pursue implementation grants for the next first round of Prop 1. And what we were informed at the meeting was that the first two rounds of Prop 1 are anticipated to be focused on disadvantaged communities.
Great. And I have a little bit more to add on RAC on that, so continue on.
The other thing that I did was right after that meeting was an informational meeting on desalinization, which was an interesting report. So.
Yeah, that is pretty fascinating, I think so, too.
That's all. Okay.
Karen?
I went to the Oceano Advisory, and Jennifer already presented that one.
Feel free to add more if you'd like, though.
No. And also, I was at Zone 3 Tech, and it basically there was a lot of discussion, and I don't really have anything to report.
Okay. Mr. Guerrero.
Buenas noches. So I attended last Wednesday the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District meeting. It was an interesting meeting. We received a recommendation from the Outside Citizens Committee regarding the two proposals that we'd received. The recommendation was to retain the firm, I think it's called Knudsen and Associates, to do the audit that has been approved. There was a resolution that was passed regarding that, and I apologize, I haven't followed up with the district yet to find out if he's been down to the district, but I will do that and make sure that I keep track of whatever progress and make sure that he gets the documents that he needs and the interviews that he needs to do to make a meaningful report. So when that comes back, obviously, we will have that attached to our packet, but you'll probably hear about it long before it gets here. So it was interesting, and I think that's it. That's it for me in this part period.
I have a question for you. When do you think the secondary, the off-site plant, will come back on the agenda to be discussed? Because I understand there's a feasibility study, but things can, you know, we don't have to look at things linearly. We can look at them side by side. And so I kind of feel like there's some times of the essence. Every day, more and more water goes out there, and others in the area are trying to do everything they can to capture the water, and so I want to know, when is it going back on the agenda?
Well, I think there's something else, and that is the coming availability of potentially of the Prop 1 money for us. That would be money that could be used for disadvantaged communities, obviously, and for water reclamation, protecting water sources. And so we want to be in a position where we can try to get ourselves as high up the list as we can to be able to get those monies to protect those resources. I think, you know, we've said it before, between us and Pismo Beach, there's about 4.5 million gallons of water going out the outfall pipe every day.
So,
and so obviously for me, there's multiple issues that run into this, because the satellite plant, a couple of things can happen. It can address redundancy issues. It can address recycling. If it's built large enough, which I would like to see that it have the capacity to serve the whole area that we're serving, so that maybe at some point this plant that was built in the early 60s, you know, if it needs replaced or taken out of service, that this satellite plant, we would have the foresight in order to service the whole community. And so with that, I think that these discussions should be the first priority of the district, and I think that they're intertwined between, again, redundancy, saving the water, recycling, satellite plant. I think that they're all intertwined with each other.
I agree with you. They are all intertwined. But the problem that I see is that you have one person overseeing the entire operations 8 hours a week. And in order to push an agenda item in time to be ready for Prop 1, I don't foresee that happening.
It's been difficult. His time has been restricted. And so I don't remember. I apologize. I don't know the exact date that the feasibility study is coming back, but it should be brought up on the next agenda, because, again, this should be the first priority of the district, is moving towards this recycled water project, in my opinion, and trying to protect our environment. You know, in the ideal world, we would have no ocean outfalls. So trying to protect the environment is crucial.
Thanks, Matt. All right. I attended the Water Resource Advisory Committee. Jennifer spoke to the IRWM. I do have the agenda packet for anybody who wants to look at it. I did put a copy on the back page. I mean, back table, excuse me. The meeting actually is starting to get better. I think they're starting to hit on more key issues versus kind of soft issues, per se. I think that everybody is definitely concerned about the drought. I actually worked on the EIR report for the Letitia project. I also have a copy of the recommendations that REC has for the Letitia project. The committee as a whole did not support the project, and it was actually a pretty lengthy EIR, and I don't know if we should upload that to our website or not, because Oceano is directly impacted by this project, and the committee did use the NMCA report, the annual report, as part of the supporting documentation, and then where the wells for this project are placed is very, very concerning. The whole project's concerning. And then also the committee endorsed the IRWM's recommendations, and Oceano was part of those recommendations for the leak detection project and the other feasibility one as well. So that was a good thing. And the last go around on that money, the majority of that money was spent in the North County. So as the bank gets lower and lower, I was happy to see a little bit of it came southbound. And that's all I have to report on. Mr. Ogan.
We can definitely, we'll put as a to-do, trying to establish a link to the Letitia EIR. I would imagine that the county has it on their website, and so even if it's a very large document, we can probably still provide a link to the county website.
The main reason why I would want it on our website is to show that it will impact Oceano and our resources through the groundwater basin. So that would be the only reason why I would recommend it being on the website, because they do speak directly to Oceano in it. So on that note, we'll move to the consent agenda. Did you want to make a statement on 9E before the consent agenda is passed? Wait a minute.
Yes.
Wait. Mr. Ogren, do you have anything to report under outside committees?
No, I do not. RAC is, Zone 3 Advisory Committee is next week, so I'll provide an update on that committee at your board's next meeting on the 27th.
Okay, I don't want to forget you.
Thank you. My brief clarifying comment on item 9E, which is consideration of a recommendation to approve safe and sane fireworks booth permits, is that the recommendations still stand. There's four applicants. On one of them, there is a waiver that is recommended for approval. That's been reviewed by the fire department. The clarifying comment is that one of the applicants is considering moving the location of their fire works booth. And I don't think that impacts the recommendations, because these are the approval of the permits. To move it, they would need to still comply with the rules and would still need to get approval from the fire chief. So provided that they have the property owner's approval and the fire chief's approval, the permit as recommended would still stand. They would just simply move it to a different location with the fire chief's approval and, again, the property owner's approval. They would not have time to seek a waiver on any additional properties. So it's got to be within the rules and with Five Cities Fire Authority approval. And that's the only clarifying comment, but the recommendations still stand for the four entities.
Okay, great. And I wanted to make that statement before I open it up to public comment. So I'll open the consent agenda items up for public comment if anybody has anything they want to comment on under consent items. Hi.
Hi. I'm Pastor Greg Noe from Central Coast Worship Center, which is a ministry of Church of God of Prophecy at the corner of 17th and Ocean. And we want to relay to all of you folks that we thank you for these years that you have allowed us and other people to operate fireworks booths. These funds, I know, from our standpoint, have helped us tremendously to be able to operate and meet many needs here in this community. So again, thank you to the board. Thank you to all that have anything to do with this. And I just want to reiterate some advantages of these safe and sane fireworks booths. I believe it's a nice, safe way for the community to show its patriotism and celebrate our freedom. It's an alternative to the dangerous, illegal ones. And I think people need to have something to turn to rather than the illegal ones. There's just too much of that going on. They are very dangerous, the ones that shoot up in the sky and explode, etc. We don't sell anything like that. We try to make sure it's all the safe and sane fireworks. We are the organization that would like to move. Another organization has asked to move their location to a spot that is less than 500 feet from ours. And rather than protesting that or anything, I thought it would be better for me to try to locate another location. I think I found a suitable location. And with your permission, then we will not be at our old location that we've been at for a number of years, but instead we will move down the road, which I think will be at least as good as the location we've had before as far as being beneficial in sales and being able to get the funds that that we've been receiving in the past. So again, thank you, and I hope for success and hope you approve all these and hope all the booths are very successful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor Greg.
Okay. I wanted to say that I like the layout of the minutes. They're familiar. They just look right.
Look professional.
I had a chance to go through these. Is there anybody who... any public comment on the consent agenda items? Okay. I would like to... are the will serves under these?
Just the one.
Just the one.
That's 9D.
So we've moved the one will serve to 10C, correct?
Yes.
Okay. I just want to make sure that got pulled out. So I'll entertain a motion.
I'll move to approve the consent agenda items 9A, 9B, 9D, and 9E as presented.
Second.
Okay. Any questions? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Marie, that passes 5-0.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, moving right along. Mr. Ogren, do you want to lead us into 10A?
Are you thinking of public comment first?
Certainly, Madam President. Choice.
We're going to do public comment first.
It's at your discretion whether you want to take public comment in advance of all the items or in advance of your consideration on the individual items.
Well, there's been complaints of taking it before the discussions, and that's why when I saw it on the agenda after the discussions, I said, well, let's try it this way, right?
Yeah.
And then, so
on 10,
I would prefer to take it after, just to see how it works out.
Then on 10A, the staff report substantially speaks for itself. My brief comment is that this increase of $1,000 to $2,000 per year for Oceano is still a very good insurance policy in terms of getting regional support on hazardous materials incidences. The resolution was crafted a little bit carefully because in the actual agreement, it's very clear that no new entity is being created, and yet there's an employment of a business manager being addressed. So in follow-up discussions with both the county as well as the current business manager, who was once an OCSD employee many years ago, Nancy Hagland, in any case, the County of San Luis Obispo and the City of San Luis Obispo basically take the lead agency roles, and so we made sure to make that identification in the resolution, as well that the implementation is done by the Five Cities Fire Authority. Essentially, then, the reason why your board is looking at this particular agreement is that the funding formula established on a regional basis is not the same as the funding formula established in the Five Cities Fire Authority JPA. And so your board needs to approve this agreement since it differs from that detail in the JPA. But that's substantially the only reason why you're considering it. That concludes my comments, and Chief Lieberman is here in case he may want to make some comments as well.
Director White?
Yeah, I have just have a question that somebody, reimbursement of expenses, that process, would that be handled by the Oceana Community Services District or the Five Cities Fire Authority? I'm on 10A, page 4, where it says reimburses of expenses. Recovery, collection of recovery costs. I'm sorry, that's what it really is.
It's on so that comment is in there because if your board were to not approve this agreement and we have a hazardous materials spill here and so the team would respond, we would essentially be required to pay them through a reimbursement process on a time and material basis. And in the event of just one incident, that one incident would far exceed the $2,000 annual cost. So,
no, I'm talking about who handles recovery of those costs. Is that handled by this district if something is here, or is that handled by the Five Cities Fire Authority?
Any recovery of expenditures by the regional team then would be done by the regional team.
The
paragraph itself is not a very clear paragraph.
It says that it's supposed to be recovered by the jurisdiction where the spill occurred, for instance.
It should be recovered from the jurisdiction, recovered by, from.
By.
But again, I think... that's right. So if there's a spill here and we don't sign it, then the regional team would charge us. We'd have to pay to the regional team. But again, I'd like to let Chief Lieberman confirm that understanding, I guess.
So a couple of items that this refers to. One of them is if the negligent party that created the hazardous materials incident, if we can identify who that person is, the team will attempt a full cost recovery of the expenditures incurred in mitigating the spill or whatever the release is.
Chief, does that mean like private party or government entity or both? Or what do you mean by that?
We would definitely... So if... I was thinking about the fish spill in Grover Beach years ago. But if a delivery vehicle leaked a substance and it was a commercial carrier, we would seek full cost recovery as a regional team.
Okay.
To cover costs from that carrier or their insurer.
That makes sense.
I still
we would be the aggrieved party then or the damaged party in it. Okay.
I still don't understand this. And it says reimbursement of expenses incurred responding to incidents in a potentially resource source is a potential revenue source, but only if it is recovered by the jurisdiction where the spill occurred. So does that mean this district has to go after those funds for the team or not?
So,
and would it be this district or would it be the Five Cities Fire Authority?
So Five Cities Fire Authority, the agreement is actually between the cities, the county, and the CSDs in the county. That's the agreement. A decision was made to house that funding within the Five Cities Fire Authority budget to make the payment to the team each year. But the agreement, if you look at the resolution, is between Oceano and the Hazmat regional team itself.
So
reimbursement of expenses incurred responding to an incident is a potential revenue source. That means it's a cost recovery.
Yeah. But it is recovered by the jurisdiction where the spill occurred. That's us.
So the intent of this is we're going to make we'll make every attempt to do a full cost recovery of its expenses. If it cannot recover those costs, they will have to be absorbed as they are today by the team.
Yeah. Okay. I still don't know, but that's...
So, as I look at it a little bit more closely, I think I understand. So let's say that we have a hazardous material spill here in Oceano.
Yeah.
If I understand your question then is, will CSD staff be responsible for trying to recoup that money from whoever the private party is?
Yeah.
I think the reality is we'd be working together with the team because on the one hand, the team is going to provide the resources in order to seek recovery. But it is within our legal jurisdiction, and so we're going to have to back the team up in terms of this happened in Oceano, Oceano CSD with the fire authority powers and everything.
Okay.
Will provide the backstop to the team. That's not unlike some of the abatement problems that we've had,
yeah,
where county code enforcement will, you know, take initial actions on significant abatement issues, and we'll provide support because we have solid waste franchise powers.
Yeah, well, then it would be our attorney's fees rather than the Five Cities Fire Authority attorney fees.
No, I think that it's primarily going to be Five Cities Fire Authority, and then the regional team, and then we'll provide whatever support we need.
Yeah.
Obviously, if it was a very significant issue, then that involved a lot of attorney's fees, we would probably be in that and then seeking recovery of attorney's fees as well.
Yeah.
So
okay.
The specific strategies on recovery is really going to depend on the incident.
Okay. That was kind of ambiguous to me.
I have a nuts and bolts question for Chief Lieberman. So I noticed Napomo's not part of this. And what if they have a hazmat spill? We respond on a mutual aid agreement. Is there no recovery?
So it's interesting, in preparing for this presentation to the other communities that are served by the Five Cities Fire Authority, this question was asked. And when I was talking to peers around the county, I spoke to Steve Knuckles, who's the fire chief in Morro Bay. Several years ago, Morro Bay had an ammonia release, and that incident lasted 48 hours, and they were not part of this agreement. The assistance for higher rate for the team, so again, going back to Napomo, is $7,000 an hour.
So let me ask you one that's probably a little bit more practical than an ammonia spill, which is kind of, you know, one in a million thing, you know. Well, maybe less.
We've had
anyway.
One.
So what's more common is somebody out on their land using drugs or bringing in chemicals for drugs. The stuff explodes. It goes into a plume in the air. It starts burning all the neighbors' eyes and everything. Now you have a chemical spill. What do you do?
That was really a dark example.
Well,
so the way the hazmat
I had more faith in society, I probably wouldn't. You know, but
so obviously that would be a 911 call. The first responding resources would make an assessment and request the hazmat team. The way the hazmat team works is an assessment team is the first responding.
So you guys would go out for this?
We would go out. We would say we need the hazmat team. An assessment team of three comes forward, makes a further justification, does sampling, and if needed, starts bringing in the full team.
And so don't get hung up on the reimbursement part.
Well, I just was trying to figure out whether we went for it, whether we went after it, or whether Five Cities Fire Authority, which is our representative, went after it. That's all I wanted to know.
I think Manager Ogren, I think, summed it up best in that the hazmat team has a business manager who's in charge of the expenditures and revenues. We would be working in a collaborative fashion to go after the cost recovery.
Yeah, and we shouldn't sell ammonia spills short. We had a big one right across the street.
Well, I think we should approve it. It's cheap insurance.
I so move.
I say we sign on it.
I move.
Well, we have to take public comment, though.
So. Oh, public comment.
Me. Wait.
Wait. Sorry, Ann.
Lori, do you have a question?
No.
Okay. Is there any public comment on this issue? None? Hearing none?
We have a
I'll
motion.
Entertain a motion.
I move to approve staff recommendation.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstaining? Marie, that's a 5-0 vote.
Thank you.
Okay.
I still don't understand. Oh, yeah. Or an attorney.
Because we moved the box, and now we get to speak to the business items, we didn't have a place to speak to the reports that were given, and I had some contributions. I think other people did too. So I don't know where we're going to fit that in, and hope we will.
President Lucy, that's a fair point. That at some point, either after the business items or where you, in your discretion, you think it's most appropriate, we should have public comment on the presentations during the business items.
Yeah, and in fact, you know, maybe we could hold off on A, B, and take public comment right now. Would that be all right with everybody?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, B, B, and C.
BNC, excuse me.
Oh, no, you
have your... We see it. You know, if I don't listen over there, everything's fine.
Yeah, you just took public comment on 10A, so...
What I'm going to do is, thank you for pointing that out, Ms. Tacker. We'll do public comment now on the items that that weren't on the consent item, but on under business, and then we'll hear 10B.
Is this on items 8?
Yeah. On reports, board of directors, and outside committees.
Right.
Thank you. My name is Beatrice Spencer. I'm from Arroyo Grande, and I served on the public committee that reviewed the RFPs for the audit for the sanitation district. And I just wanted to really quick thank Director Guerrero for his support of the committee's recommendation of the Knutson Group.
Thank you for serving on that as well.
It was my pleasure. Thank you. And then I had just a couple quick comments with regards to the reports, specifically with regards to the fires, the Five Cities Fire Authority budget. Last night I attended the Arroyo Grande the Arroyo Grande City Council meeting, and I had looked at these documents a little bit earlier in the day and was quite...
Point of order, are those, we haven't done those.
Yeah, it was. I think she's okay. I think we received. Yeah.
We're just receiving them, I thought. We haven't discussed them. Okay. I thought we were just receiving them tonight.
Beatrice, on the Five Cities Fire Authority budget itself, that's included as late received correspondence. It's a little bit later on the agenda, and the comments that I'll be making at that point in time is that I'm going to be recommending that that will be on the district's agenda on the June 10th meeting prior to Five Cities Fire Authority actually considering approval of the budget.
Okay, so you'd like me to come back later?
Or just know that it's going to be a future agenda item, and so...
Okay. Well, if it's okay, I'd just like to finish my one quick comment, and then because mine isn't even really specifically with response with regards to Oceano, just... how off guard and by caught by surprise Arroyo Grande was to figure out or to learn that their increase for the Five Cities Fire Authority in the upcoming budget is an increase of $264,000 for the upcoming year. So Oceano and Grover are also going to see increases, and I just wanted to... Our board had not received this documentation yesterday, and so I understand it's a little bit different case. You guys have just gotten it late, but... included in here is a very hefty increase for Arroyo Grande, and that does affect you as well because your name is on the list too. So thank you.
And just a real quick comment.
This
so,
is preliminary.
Yeah, and I have been working closely with both City Manager Bob McFall and Bob Perl, and we'll be able to discuss those details when we do have it on the agenda.
Great. Ms. Tacker.
Good evening again. I'm Julie Tacker, and I have a question, a lot of discussion about Prop 84 and Prop 1. And, you know, Oceano is a disadvantaged community. I understand that. But probably a year ago now, USDA was here and talked about your grant eligibility, and certainly your demographics make you grant eligible. But because of the past financial practices and internal fund loans and those sorts of things, audits that were out of date, you were disqualified from applying for those grants. And I don't know if those same restrictions apply to the Prop 84 and the Prop 1, and I'd like to know if they consider your outstanding financials when they consider you for a grant of significant amounts of money that you're asking for. And then something that I learned that did come out of the Arroyo Grande City Council meeting last night, out of their closed session, the report was 5-0, to terminate their agreement with their special legal counsel, and that is your special legal counsel, Nossaman and Mr. Weinstock. and the Oceano CSD. So I don't know how that the agreement that you had with that attorney, they are opting out and going to find some other legal representation, and I don't know how that affects how we go forward from here. What I find interesting about that is that you guys talked about getting rid of Mr. Weinstock first, and then you're the last ones still married to that firm. So I don't, I would like to know more how that affects the district, and would we be looking for other counsel? And then the last thing about the recycled water and the satellite plant, and the that was kind of a, the feasibility study is ongoing. It's not expected back until December. But remember that your manager from the sanitation district said the feasibility study may show that it's infeasible. So if it's not feasible, you can't just march out there and start moving water around. And so you really do need to see if it's feasible. And then a satellite plant has a whole location process. And right now the plan that the feasibility study was just kind of drafted out shows it right in your front yard here near Halcyon. So, and Highway 1. So I think Oceano would have a little heartburn over the conflict that a facility like that would propose for your front yard.
Just to clarify, thank you, Ms. Tacker. Just to clarify, the USDA grant issue and the reason we didn't go out wasn't because we had outdated audits. It was because our rate structure didn't have the percentage to cover any potential payments. And so that was...
And I concur. On the Prop 184, since that's purely a grant, our financial status doesn't apply because there's not a test on the ability to repay. On USDA, I did have a conversation with Pete Yabarin with USDA earlier this week, and I have a meeting scheduled with him in June in order to give him an update on what our status is, including the recent rate modification in order to, you know, eliminate the deficit and get a little bit ahead. With respect to the questions on Nossman and legal, that's not actually was not covered in the committee reports. It's not on the agenda today. I have been in discussions with Arroyo Grande, but because it's not anywhere on the agenda today, I won't be able to share that with your board until the next meeting. And that is, you know, sort of some late breaking news. With respect to the recycled water efforts, then, you know, we just simply have to wait and see on how that project is moving forward.
And on that note, I'd just like to thank the legislators for including underserved populations. It's not so much disenfranchised populations, it's underserved populations that make us a little bit more entertaining as far as funding, because most of the funding goes to entities that have don't have resource problems, and so therefore they have lots and lots of plans sitting on the shelf and they just have to pick one, where underserved populations don't have that luxury. And so the state of California was insightful enough, plus plenty of calls went in as to this money not encouraging underserved populations to become involved. So I actually am quite thrilled about it. So on that note, I'm going to move this agenda back to agenda items. Do we want to take a break before?
No, let's keep going.
City, or let's just go into
Again, to your board's discretion. This item will take a little bit longer, so.
Let's ask the presenter, Mr. Fine. Would you want to take a 5-minute break first, or jump on it, or?
It's up to you. The presentation's probably 7 to 8 minutes, but then you
let's have roll.
Let's keep going.
You're up.
Okay. Just a couple of introductory comments. President Lucy.
Yes.
Director Blackburn and I attended the Pismo Beach presentation a few weeks ago. And the staff report is a relatively straightforward recommendation to support and then to work with Pismo on an interagency partnership as requested by City Manager James Lewis. The four items that I think we want to keep in mind as we move forward is With recycled water and with then recharges into the groundwater basin, that's an introduction of a new source of supply into the groundwater basin. And so it begs, how might that change groundwater pumping allocations? The second point is, what, if any, are the cost implications to Oceano? Third, water quality requirements, because that is always, you know, a question when we inject any water source really into a groundwater basin. And then the last one, which is the one that I'm going to have to follow up with State Water Board staff, is how might partnering, and this one might have a lot of uncertainty, if we partner with PISMO, will that have an effect on any partnering with South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District if they want to pursue grants for recycled water? So those are the four sort of corners of consideration that we're going to have to be thinking about moving forward. But those details certainly would not create any reason not to provide support. As a neighboring community, PISMO's pursuit of recycled water is going to, you know, always have some sort of a benefit on neighbors, including us, including Grover, and including Arroyo Grande. I certainly appreciate their efforts on recycled water and the milestones that they've achieved. And with that, be glad to turn it over to Public Works Director Ben Fine.
Thank you, Mr. Ogren. Honorable President and Directors, staff, and public, thank you for having me here this evening. It really is an honor to speak before you and give you an overview of our recycled water project, really the recycled water facilities planning study that we've put together. It's been a long time coming, and it really is a very big milestone for us, and we're very glad that you guys are and honored that you're considering some sort of a partnership as we move forward. Real briefly, just some acknowledgments. Obviously, our city council played a huge role in this. Pismo Beach staff, you can see it was a very collaborative effort. Members of staff from a lot of different departments, as well as staff from Arroyo Grande as Grover Beach, the WSC team, quite a few engineers that they had working on it, as well as Corollo Engineering and Cleith Harris, geologists, and Fugro consultants. So looking at our recycled water facilities plan and how we got to where we are, the city of Pismo Beach was awarded a recycled water facilities planning grant in August of 2012. And then the council appropriated matching funds sometime later. The project was kicked off towards the end of 2013, and it was finally accepted by the city council on April 21st of 2015. So you can see this has been a long time coming.
Can we pause real quick? I'm not sure if we're having any technical difficulties with AGP.
Absolutely.
Want to make sure the broadcast is coming through.
Do we need to take a break? I really do want this to come through clearly.
That was a warm-up, Ben. You need to try it again.
Yeah, absolutely. Appreciate
five
the
minutes.
We liked your appreciation for Oceano. We want you to start over and do it again.
Yeah. Okay.
Is AGP ready?
All right. Mr. Fine?
Okay, sorry for the slight interruption. Mr. Fine will be back up at the podium telling us about the great Pismo Beach project.
Wouldn't be great.
Thank you. Honorable President, fellow directors, it's an honor to be here. Really appreciate the invitation. Acknowledgements. I'd like to acknowledge our city council, the Pismo Beach staff. I'm going to go through these ones rather quickly for the public at home because we already covered them. Arroyo Grande, Grover Beach, as well as our consultant team. So how did we get here? We were awarded a recycled water facilities planning grant in August of 2012. The council appropriated matching funds in at the end of 13. And the project kicked off at the very end of 13. And the presentation and the report was presented to the City Council on April 21st 2015, and the City Council accepted it and endorsed the recommended project. The alternatives that were looked at, and we'll go over this a little bit more in a bit, is secondary 23 water, which could only be used for irrigation of limited or restricted access areas. Disinfected tertiary area, that's your typical purple pipe that you see. Full advanced treatment with coastal injection wells, and then full advanced treatment with inland injection wells. Just to give you an overview of the chapters in the report, covered our water supplies and characteristics, the city's wastewater characteristics and facilities, the treatment requirements, recycled water market and opportunities of each of the different alternatives. We looked at planning and design assumptions. We looked at different project alternatives. The recommended facilities project plan, as well as an implementation plan, construction financing plan, and then, of course, the references. So the introduction, we looked at what are the goals for recycled water. The goals that we came up with were to offset some potable water uses, to diversify the city's water supply portfolio, provide a new source of recharge to the Santa Maria groundwater basin, to relieve increased water demand, and to develop a viable recycled water project in a timely manner to facilitate regional use of recycled water in the South County. Excuse me. We also looked at our service area population, which not only included the city of Pismo Beach, but also our regional partners as well. And then we looked at related initiatives that have been done, including the county's recently completed recycled efforts. So this just shows you our water use trends here dating back to 1995, and the green line shows historical uses, and the blue line is projected uses that include water conservation. So you can see we're right around 2,000 acre feet a year. And looking at our wastewater treatment plant characteristics, sorry, the picture's overlapping the words here, but the existing facility, water comes in and goes through the bar screen, then on to the oxidation ditches, to the secondary clarifiers, the water's then chlorinated, then dechlorinated, and then goes to the ocean outfall, which is a joint facility, as you're aware. Our biosolids handling is over here in the corner, and we're actually replacing this. This is a belt press, and we're just finished design, and we're seeking the SRF. We're actually just completing the SRF funding application to put in a screw press. So looking at our flows, here's our five-year average. It's just about 1.1 million gallons per day. It's about 1,200 acre feet of water that's just discharged directly to the ocean. So looking at future facilities and what it could look like, we've identified spots. The circles are potential tank locations. As the water is recycled, it'll be put into the tank so we can have a constant flow rate to the injection sites, which gives you a little preview of what the preferred project was. And then the squares show where we can put the infrastructure to treat the water. So looking at the recycled water markets, for the secondary 23 water, we identified within the city the James Way Slope and the Caltrans Median. There's only an annual demand of 16.65 acre feet per year. So the potable water offset for this alternative is very small. Looking at the disinfected tertiary, the top six users in the city are listed here. I won't go through them, but this was a total of 63 acre feet. For those six users, it was 214 acre feet citywide. The problem we run into with this is the infrastructure to deliver the water. And this option made it very difficult to have interagency partnerships, such as the one we're seeking. Groundwater recharge. We looked at two different options. One was surface spreading, where we'd have spreading ponds and we'd allow the water to percolate into the groundwater basin. And the other was subsurface injection or direct groundwater injection. When we looked at the surface spreading, one of the problems we ran into is identifying suitable spots where we had enough land to actually have ponds big enough. And the spots that we did identify were drainage basins. And so during the winter, they'd be pretty much unavailable to the recycled water project. Which really helped kind of to elevate the direct groundwater injection as we started ranking all these projects and looking at the pros and cons. So looking at the kind of cost analysis here, the secondary 23, again, it was 16.6 acre feet of potable water offset. The capital improvement cost for the distribution system was just under $5 million, with an annual O&M of $44,000, which brought us to just under $16,000 per acre foot. That have pretty much eliminated that option right there. Alternative two, which was the disinfected tertiary, again, it was 214 acre feet that we identified, and that was just within the city. What we did look at is extending a pipeline in the Caltrans right-of-way to reach Arroyo Grande and Grover Beach. It proved to be very costly. The distribution network, almost $19.5 million with an annual O&M of $200,000. And for the treatment costs, it was $1.2 million with an annual O&M of $30,000. So when you look at the dollars per acre foot, we're about $5,400. As comparison, state water is right around $1,200 an acre foot. So then again, the market here is various landscape areas throughout the city. Looking at alternative, we called the both direct groundwater injections 3A and 3B because they're very, very similar projects. So looking at 3A, which is the direct groundwater injection with coastal wells, it's estimated that we'll get 930 acre feet or so of recoverable water. So looking at the distribution network, it's $11.9 million, almost $12 million, with an annual O&M of just under $100,000. And for the treatment, the capital improvement cost is $15.1 million, with annual O&M of about $500,000. Because of the large amount of water, this brings the cost down to $1,900 an acre foot. So it's really not much more than any of our agencies are really paying for surface water. Alternative 3B was direct groundwater injection with inland wells. Again, it's very similar in cost. This project ended up being $2,100 per acre foot, so it's not much more. It's $200 more per acre foot. The advantage of both of these projects is that the market is not only all of our water users, it's the whole entire region. By injecting the water into the basin, not only can we recover the 930 acre feet we're pumping in, but it also allows all of our regional partners to draw more of their adjudicated portions of water out of the basin. As we all know that there's a, from time to time, a threat of saltwater intrusion, and injecting the water into the basin would help mitigate that. So no alternatives analysis is complete without looking at all the alternatives. So we considered non-recycled water supplies. One of them was the Lake Lopez Spillway Project. This is a project that's been looked at. This would amount to about $1,300 an acre foot. However, this project doesn't help us unless it rains. So here we are in a drought. This project would yield no water. Looking at ocean water as a supply, the South San Luis Obispo County desal study showed that we're looking at about $3,000 an acre foot. And then looking at purchasing potable water or additional state water from outside suppliers, the NCSD state water supply analysis showed that was about $2,500 an acre foot. And then, of course, one of the alternatives is always to do nothing, so we considered that as well. So comparing the options, here they all are in one table, along with the cost per acre foot. So again, we have the Title 23 water is $15,900 per acre foot. We have the purple pipe option or the tertiary treatment at $5,400 an acre foot. And then we have the direct groundwater injection at right around $2,000 an acre foot. So the recommended project was the direct groundwater injection with the inland wells. However, we've agreed with the consultant that it's probably best to look at a combination of inland wells as well as coastal wells. One of the disadvantages of coastal wells, while it does build a saltwater intrusion barrier, we don't know how much water is just going to go straight out to sea and won't be recoverable. So that's one of the things that we hope to look at as we move forward, is doing a combination, a hybrid of the two. So as far as the implementation plan goes, these are the steps that we'll be taking, conducting a groundwater model, building a test injection well so we can find out how the basin actually reacts to injecting water. One of the comments that we got at our meeting and during public comment is, well, if you build this test injection well and you're taking potable water and pumping it into the ground, aren't you wasting the water? The answer to that is no, because that water is recoverable. Of course, we have to look at our water quality sampling of our current effluent for the reverse osmosis process design. permitting through the Water Quality Control Board, the infrastructure permits to build not only the facility at our plant, but also the distribution network. It's anticipated that the injection wells will be located in Arroyo Grande and Grover Beach, so working with those agencies on the permits. Salt and nutrient management plan, the environmental documents. We're anticipating doing at least a CEQA plus, but probably a NEPA, because we don't want to be limited just to state dollars. And then as far as the permitting goes, this is appealable to the Coastal Commission. And then working on the coordination and the governance, and that's part of why I'm here tonight, is reaching out to Oceano and the OCSD and looking for your support. And then public outreach. Not so much today, but not too far in the distant past, the ick factor of recycled water was really high. It's becoming more and more accepted, especially as the drought gets worse and worse, where more and more of the public is accepting recycled water at face value, and you don't need to do the big media campaign like they had to do in Orange County. And I think part of Orange County's problem was the fact they coined it toilet to tap, which I don't know that that helped them much. But anyways, the public outreach will be a big component. Looking at implementation, this is a very aggressive timeline. Agreements between other agencies, such as yourself, we're ongoing now and hope to wrap up by the middle of next year. Funding, we've already started seeking funding, and we're hoping to have that tied up by the middle of 17, and we'll do design concurrently with the funding. We anticipate starting the permitting process. We'll actually start doing our environmental work now, but the permitting completing in the middle of 17, and we hopefully can roll into construction. And again, this is a very aggressive timeline, and it's greatly dependent upon funding and partnerships with our local agencies, including members of the NCMA and Zone 3. So just looking at the construction financing plan, grant opportunities, obviously everybody's aware of Prop 1, and we're very aggressively pursuing Prop 1 opportunities. Debt funding is an option. The state revolving fund has some outstanding interest rates. We're taking advantage of those on our lift station that we're constructing, as well as the solids handling I alluded to earlier. So that's another option. The water bond, I touched on that. And with that, I would... I'm happy to answer any questions that the board may have.
Go ahead, Matt.
Oh, she turned to me first. Good evening, Mr. Fine.
Good evening.
I have a number of questions. I guess the first one and the easiest way to ask it is, why Oceano? I mean, obviously we're a disadvantaged community. Are you trying to take advantage of that status? Why not Grover Beach? Why not Arroyo Grande? What do we bring to the table? What do we get out of it?
So that's a very good question, and we're not just singling you guys out. We're looking for partnerships with all the NCMA member agencies. Arroyo Grande has probably been the biggest participant. They were at every meeting that we had. When we met with WSC, when we had our kickoff, they were there. They were at all of the meetings along the way. Grover Beach was at some of them. So we're looking to partner with all of the NCMA agencies. Because really this is a Santa Maria groundwater basin health project that's going to really help us all, and we'll all be able to take advantage of it.
But you say all of the agencies, so are they all going to, or is each agency going to be approached? Is this only a PISMO project for injection wells in Grover and PISMO? Or?
So it is a PISMO project and something that we're working with and working on, and that Jim will work with Pavo and with Bob and Bob, is how does the governance and funding all tie together? Obviously, you saw the price tags. Not one agency can bite that apple alone. So we're looking at each of the agencies on how you can help. When I was brainstorming with Pavo and the NCMA member agencies, what Oceano has to bring to the table is your ability to get grants. And so as we look at how does each agency help and participate, perhaps Oceano's role is to get grants that maybe PISMO and Arroyo Grande and Grover wouldn't qualify for, because we're not disadvantaged.
And my concern there is, so obviously we're a partner in the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District. If we use our
ability to get grants here that goes to a project in Pismo, am I precluding the South Slo CSD and the community served by the South Slo CSD from getting grants? Because that would be a major hang-up for me.
Absolutely, and that's completely understandable. So first off, partnering with us and exploring this won't preclude you from grants.
Exploring CREG, right.
Right. So the limited amount of research and reaching out that I've done, since the two are separate and distinct projects, and since both of them do have a regional benefit that not only benefit the NCS or the NCMA, but also the MMA potentially, that all indications I'm getting is that, and this isn't a final answer, I haven't been able to get a final answer, is that it would not preclude you from seeking grants for the other upgrades.
I would need to know that, obviously.
Absolutely.
For obvious reasons.
Absolutely. And I would expect, you know, your board to confirm that.
And I note that Pismo is about a similar population as we are, yet you use 2.5 more times more water because of the hotels, and you have for a lot of reasons. If a project is built, and you may or may not know the answer to this, but if a project is built in Pismo Beach that's injecting water there, how does this affect the groundwater rights, or does it affect the groundwater rights of each individual organization?
So my understanding, and this is something that we're fleshing out with our legal team, is that our adjudications don't change. The adjudications from, you know, years of litigation would remain the same. I know Pismo Beach is 700 acre feet. You guys are
750.
No, state water 750, 900.
Yeah, so pumping, your adjudication is 900. That wouldn't change. What changes, and this gets processed through the court, is how much of the water that you pump in is recoverable, and where does it go?
And I had a question about why not wetlands or ponding, and I get that now. My biggest concern is what does Oceano get out of it if we play our disadvantage card, you know?
Well, there's not just one card.
Well, is there not just one card? I don't know.
Yeah, no.
I don't know the answer to that. But if we played the card, Pismo, and I am 100% behind Pismo Beach recycling water. I support that, just like I support it for South Slo CSD. And the injection wells go in. I just hate for an opportunity that we have an opportunity cost that gets lost for Oceano, and that's my concern, that I want to make sure that we don't lose that.
Absolutely, and that's a very real concern. You know, as we look at these partnerships, you know, it's sort of like selling stock in a company, and mm-hmm. as each agency helps contribute, then the stock is the water, and that how do we divvy up that water? So right. It's not like you would get this grant and we would build this project and you would get nothing. What you would get is, and that's kind of what Jim and Pavo and Bob and Bob would work out, is how much does each agency get out of that 930 acre feet that's recoverable?
So a couple of add-on, I think, comments is that part of the preliminary feasibility study did identify injection wells that are in Oceano's area. So it did not look at just injection wells in Pismo Beach. To take an additional step on where might injection wells, whether the water comes from Pismo's recycled water project or South San Luis Obispo County's, the Sand District's recycled water project, that was the purpose of seeking the groundwater recharge grant through the IRWM, is so that we can do the concurrent activities of identifying where do we think would be best to have injection wells. And so that you know, detailed effort is hopefully we can get some grant funding to address that. But their preliminary efforts already did identify injection wells that would benefit Oceano. The other thing that I think we need to remember is that our drinking water wells are the ones that are the closest to the ocean right now. And with our close proximity to agriculture and close proximity to NMMA, our existing drinking water wells may be the ones that are at the highest risk of seawater intrusion. So the implementation of recycled water and injection wells is going to certainly help defend our existing infrastructure. And then as Mr. Fine had explained, the question of how is it that the financial contributions will then affect each agency's ratios to get out of the 930 acre feet. And there's a couple of different approaches on that, which we haven't delved into the details yet, but there's both capital costs and there's O&M costs. And so if we are able to help secure grant revenues for capital costs, then that would play into a role in sort of whatever our percentage of recovery we would get. On the O&M side, then it begs the question of whether we would need to pay for a proportional share of the operations and maintenance of the recycled water facilities. An alternative approach is to take a look at the life cycle costs, which include both the capital and the O&M, and then to credit, you know, the capital costs so that we would have no annual costs on an ongoing basis. On a life cycle approach, we would then anticipate that our percentage share would go down. There's also the option of providing an option or what, you know, making some of these decisions down the road. Right. So that's the parameter of looking at how to figure out percentages is capital costs, O&M costs, life cycle costs, and there's a couple different ways to go, and those would be some of the discussions that we have as we move forward.
And I don't know if it's been considered, Mr. Fine, but I don't know what the capacity is for recycling water. Is there a possibility of South Slo CSD sending effluent up there to be recycled and injected? I mean, could you guys start, you know, some sort of partnership? Maybe partnership might not be the right word, but could we
pipe it the other way?
Yeah, reverse the pumping.
Possibility. It would be something that has to be considered up front so that we'd be able to design the full advanced treatment facility with enough capacity. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we're not going to design for the 1.1 million gallons. We're going to design bigger than that.
Because we're about 2.4.
So there would be additional capacity. The question is how much bigger do we go? And then logistically, how do we get your effluent to our site? Do we reverse the flow of the existing outfall? And if we do that, how do we discharge the brine? Because there is a brine that needs to be discharged, which...
For the recycling.
Yeah, exactly, because as you go through the reverse osmosis process, there's a brine that's discharged. It's and that's one of the things that some of the comments that we've got is you're discharging this brine, it's so much more salt that you're discharging to the ocean. Well, it's not more salt. It's the same amount. It's just a higher concentration. So
there'd need to be a secondary pipe.
So there'd have to be a way to send the discharge... Brine back. Unless we did some sort of evaporation pond or something, you know, which isn't something we've looked at right now. What we've been considering thus far is using the ocean outfall for the brine discharge.
Because I think for me, and then I'll turn it over to the rest of the board, I need something more, something tangible to hang my hat on so the people that live near me on Ocean Street and Beach Street can say, hey, what did we get out of that?
You know. Right. So in one thing... So when you look at this timeline, the on switch helps. So when you look at this timeline, you know, we're in here. And right. So as you talk about a lot of your concerns and the points that Mr. Ogren brought up, we still have scheduled over a year to iron all that out. And that's something obviously we don't anticipate on coming to a conclusion this evening. What we're looking for this evening is, you know, support and the ability for Mr. Ogren to move forward with Pismo Beach staff.
I'll turn it over. Thank you, Mary.
Okay. Karen, do you have any questions?
Yeah. My first question would be if nobody else comes to Pismo's aid, so to speak, in joining in this deal, can Pismo do it by itself?
That's a very good question, and the answer to that would be completely dependent upon grant funding. When you look at the cost here, you know, this is about $30 million. We can't write a check for $30 million, obviously. We could
raise your bed tax.
We could finance a portion of it.
You're closer to it than we are.
And get grants. We will definitely make every effort to pursue if you know, everybody decided, you know what, it's too risky, or we don't have the money, or we don't have the staff time, or whatever it may be, for whatever reason, we will move forward and try to pursue it. The chances of us getting there are much better getting there as a team and a collaborative effort.
Then why haven't you started out in a collaborative? I mean, to me, and I'm not against it, and I love Pismo Beach, but it's Pismo Beach's project that other people are joining. Why isn't it a unified project of all of us? Why don't we even have Napomo in? Because we all need the same water. It's all the same water that we're dumping out to the ocean. So I just feel like, yeah, this is good, but it's, to me, it's not good enough.
Mm-hmm. So if I might pick up on the answer to that question. So, you know, so far with Pismo, the milestone they've hit is really this feasibility study and identifying what their options were and identifying that recycled water is really their, you know, best next option. And the collaboration with some of the other NCMA partners certainly has been moving forward, and a little bit it's now Oceano CSD catching up with our other NCMA agencies. So I think it's a real good milestone for Mr. Fine to come out here, make the presentation. As he mentioned before, the direction I'm really seeking from your board is just that soft direction to be able to work with Pismo Beach and to try to work on these details on how we can partner. With respect to NMMA, the MESA, we are all in this, you know, all the NCMA agencies recognize the pumping that's going up on the MESA. The challenge, of course, with NMMA is the fact that that's all going through, you know, the adjudication process and the court process. So we are very much keeping an eye to the NMMA. I've been pretty public in speaking that I believe that the implementation of recycled water in the Five Cities area through both Pismo and South County Sand is going to really nail down the needs of water needs in the Five Cities area.
I agree.
And especially in wet years then, to the extent that there's excess that might be available, and that will have to be evaluated further, that is a water source opportunity for the MESA. And yet it's the, you know, the adjudication process that's really that slow grinding process in order to figure out how and if they might participate in this project. So all of those wheels are definitely turning right now, and we're working on those issues. Some of them are more in the public forum, and some of them more are in the strategies associated with litigation and the adjudication. But they are all moving together with that sort of common theme.
We have politics on one side and engineering on the other, and I want them to meet together.
Yes.
Thank you.
Sure.
Lori, do you have any questions at this time? Your mic.
I don't have any specific questions right now. I think it's kind of early stages, but I'm just want to watch and see how all the other agencies come together with this.
Jen?
I have a question about that test well. I was curious how long the testing period would be for. Would it be just the travel time for the water? Is it the 2 or 8 month time period?
So it's...
Do you know that
the contact
yet?
Time we're looking for 60 days is what we're looking for. But really the purpose of the test injection well is multiple reasons and multiple functions. And one is just to see how the basin reacts. Mm-hmm. You know, we have geologists and hydrogeologists telling us, producing models saying if you inject here, this is what's going to happen, and this is where the water is going to go, and this is how the basin's going to react, and this is what's going to happen to the groundwater level. But we don't know any of that for certain. So the test well allows us to have an empirical study to figure out exactly what's going on in the basin when we do inject this water. So that's part of it. The other part is to measure contact time and such.
Okay. I just was thinking during the discussion, would the wells, the injection wells, be available? I don't know which direction the sand district is going to go, but if they did choose to do injection, would those wells be able to be shared? Or do they have an infrastructure limit in how much they can pump?
So they do have a capacity of what they can be, what can be injected. Mm-hmm. Part of that capacity is the pumps and the infrastructure, and part of that capacity is the hydrogeology makeup of the groundwater basin,
right.
Which is the study identified that we'll probably need 4 injection wells to get 900 acre feet
of water,
930 acre feet a year into the basin. Can we increase the flow through those injection wells? Probably to some degree, but to take all of your water, no, that would, if you guys move forward with the South Sand Project, it would require more injection wells, and the limiting factor there is going to be the actual
the groundwater,
exactly.
Yeah, okay. Actually, as part of that then, so even if you did a hybrid of coastal and inland wells, would it be capped at 4, or that would be the goal, or would that possibly change depending on what you find out?
It could change. It could be 3. It could be 5. It's, okay. You know, really we want to build as few as possible. The cost per well is pretty high, and as well as the infrastructure to tie it, into the distribution system from the plant. The more you spread them out, obviously, the higher that cost gets. The more they're clumped together, the lower that cost is. But then do you get the same benefit from the basin? So that's something that's going to have to be studied, where they go, how many, how far spread out they are. But one of the things that we are looking to help do is, if you look at the NCMA annual report, mm-hmm. You'll see the pumping depression created by the farmers, which really is a concern to us. So part of this project is not only supplying the drinking water, but also helping to offset that pumping depression.
Right.
And on that point, my follow-up comment is that obviously more has to be studied, but on a real preliminary basis, if the opportunity is to get a coastal injection well with cooperation in PISMO to help protect against seawater intrusion, and then as part of the South Sand District, getting some inland wells, that might really be the best of both worlds for Oceano, especially because the inland wells, if you could just imagine going up a Rio Grande Creek and being on the north side of the creek, that would help address some of the pumping that we're seeing both in the agriculture in the Cienega Valley as well as the impacts that are occurring because of the mesa. So, it's just real conceptually early, but I could see, for Oceano getting the benefit of both seawater intrusion barrier from PISMO's project and inland wells from South County Sand. And we're sort of right at that point in the whole five cities area where we could be very well positioned, not just for Oceano, but also to, help protect the basin for, all the municipalities here.
I have a few questions, Ben.
Absolutely.
First of all, this has been in the works, 7 years now? 8, 9?
This particular study has started in 2012 with seeking the funding. Looking at recycled water in Pismo Beach has been something that's been going on for a long time.
Okay.
The initial, when we first started looking at it, Wallace did a recycled water study for us years ago. Before I came to the city in 2008, and that, they had done that before I got there.
Because I remember Mr. Chisholm had done an initial feasibility study.
Correct. And that primarily focused on purple pipe or tertiary treatment.
Correct.
So whereas now we're shifting and looking at direct groundwater injection, which provides many more benefits.
Right. And so for it to conflict with the sanitation district's future ideas, right, I don't see there being a contradiction or competing needs here, because this is so much further along, and still it won't be online until 2018 if all goes well. Okay, so there, that I don't think is a problem. The other thing is that I applaud you for thinking of it as a regional project. Of course it is a Pismo Beach project, and realizing that you can't drink a dollar, how many dollars you have, you still can't drink it. And taking those resources and putting it into something that is more sustainable. I'm wondering, is you spoke of that Arroyo Grande has in their two staff members have and more have been actively involved in planning and stuff, but as I look at some of our neighbors, right, I take a lot of pride in Oceano that we have diversified our water sources for being a community with limited resources. Pismo Beach and Oceano actually are lead in diversifying our water sources for the South County. Now, I think that over time we were all in hopes that our neighbors would also see the need and diversify their water sources, but still we have one neighbor who has, you know, plenty of resources and hasn't put anything new online in 50 years. So I wonder, is it possible, besides hope, of getting others to do something about the drought and become more sustainable and diversify their sources?
I absolutely hope so. That is a great point and a great question. I do know with one of the neighboring agencies that when the state water came up, that they didn't just say no, they said no. And right. They said that if we're ever going to have state water, there's going to be a vote of the people, which put a very big obstacle in their way. You know, when people look at bringing in a new water supply, they're looking at increasing their costs. And as we saw with the NCSD, you know, here the settlement and, you know, with the whole Santa Maria groundwater litigation said you shall bring in 2,500 acre feet, and they, you know, put a 218 ballot measure on their ballot, and the citizens voted it down.
And they did the most pumping on the groundwater this last quarter, correct? Last year.
I believe that to be true, but I'm not sure, okay. So I'm not going to answer that. So there are obstacles that any municipality may wish to overcome, but sometimes your citizens, you know, they see it a different way. A lot of times they look at what the cost is to them and their pocketbook, so it becomes difficult. But I do know that in our NCMA technical group meetings, Oceano, Arroyo Grande, and Grover Beach are all, we work very well together, and at least at a staff level, there's been a lot of support from all the agencies.
Yes.
So, you know, they are looking to diversify with this. You know, I do realize the South County Sand Project is coming along, but as you said, that is quite a ways behind, which is why you know, the other agencies have been willing to jump on board with us, get this project going. And as Pava pointed out, really, you know, in an ideal situation, you have both of these projects going and they complement each other.
Right.
And we end up in a spot where here we have these, you know, four tiny little municipalities by any stretch of the imagination. We are tiny and we would have, you know, this amazing resource if we're able to get both of those online.
Yeah. Okay, great. Thank you so much for coming out today.
Absolutely.
I think it's a great project.
One more question.
Yes. And I hope it flies, you know, quickly.
Thank you. I appreciate your time.
Karen?
Yeah, I know that everything is still in the planning and looking stage, but how far east do you conceive that these wells would go?
How far east?
Yeah.
You know, it really depends. We have to look at...
And how far north? I mean, are you going to go along Highway 101, or are you going to come down to the flats?
So the exact location of where they will be has not been pinpointed.
I know.
So
I just,
it's something
if you
that
had any idea.
Really, no. We have to look to see how the basin's going to actually react and where the best spot to put them is to achieve our goals, which is to help protect against groundwater or saltwater intrusion,
yeah,
and to bolster the supplies, the water supplies in the groundwater basin. So really, the location of the wells will be dependent on what is the best benefit.
For that. Yeah, I continue to be concerned about the growth proposed on the Napomo Mesa, the east side, and the farmers aren't taking any more water than they ever did. Growth is slow. Even Pismo's growth is a little slow, and all the growth is to the east, and they're not making any efforts to support this basin where they're taking the water.
And so I just don't want to, I'm just really...
Back to that hope.
Well, I'm just, I don't want to see us put all the resources and the energy and everything in and put those wells too far east. Although I know the critical thing is saltwater intrusion. I understand that. But
and I, that's, just,
I don't like to share unless everybody pays their fair share. We're going Dutch on this thing, as far as I'm concerned.
And so that's a sort of, if I might, a good transition into my final couple comments here prior to public comment. And one is, after listening to board discussion, a clarifier here is in trying to in working on an agreement as recommended with the city, I would not envision as that being a final all-end agreement, but really has to have two different phases associated with it. One is an agreement on what are we going to do initially in order to help support, you know, project development. But secondly, then, what are the decisions going to be about actual project implementation? So the front-end one, in my mind, is the relatively easier project support, yes, and, you know, pursuing grants and that kind of stuff. But I would, that second part about how would the project actually be implemented and what would, you know, our rights and responsibilities be, that would be the second part. And so, you know, of course, prior to implementation, it would come back to your board in order to make sure that those met the pleasures of your board. That's similar to the approach that was used in the development of the Nacimiento Water Project, where there is one that part one was the design efforts, find out exactly what's going to be implemented, and then in those in those particular contracts, all of the agencies, Paso Robles, San Luis Obispo, had the right to opt out prior to implementation if they weren't satisfied. So again, I think that an agreement would have to take sort of a two-part approach: project development up front, and then final decisions on implementation. And the last comment that I want to make is that, although Oceano's water supply, because of the diversified portfolio, is better than a lot of other agencies, we can't lose fact of that it looks like we'll be taking a 10% cut on Lopez water. State water is only delivering 20%, and thankfully, you know, our county has an allocation that then can meet, you know, our needs in a 20% year. We can get 100% of our local, of our allocation. But the groundwater basin in the 2014 NCMA report has been submitted to the courts. It's going to be on your agenda for review pretty soon. But as a whole, we only pump 25% of our groundwater allocation. Pismo Beach and Oceano were almost right the same at 28 and 29% of our allocations. And the ability to really pump any more than that, given the drought and the decline in groundwater levels, is really, really a significant question. So all three of our water sources in a drought that we have like right now are really at risk, and the groundwater basin itself is at significant risk, and projects like this certainly need to be considered in order to help firm up the reliability of the supplies in years to come.
And I think it's fair to say, too, it's not a disagreement or anything, it's just an added point, is that I think that Oceano has been socially responsible. Mm-hmm. When there was a threat of saltwater intrusion, which was simply a fabricated threat, right? Oceano pulled back and did not pump for 6 years. For 6 years, this little town lost 900 acre feet of water, you know, and because we socially felt responsible to do that, where I think
without
others,
any consideration from any other entities.
No, and I think others kind of beefed up their pumping, you know, but that was, we weren't in a drought at that time either. So I think that we continually give to the region, not just for ourselves. But I applaud you guys for moving on this, and if you could fast track it, you know, I think that's even better, as long as the pumps are considered to be safe and the purity is as pure as we can get it, you know.
So that's something we didn't talk about, and I really appreciate your support and your comments. The water prior to being injected is right about at the distilled water level. So it's
can mix it with whiskey?
Absolutely.
Can I put it in my coffee maker?
can I make one final comment, and then I'll be done?
Yes, Matt.
Yes, I applaud this effort. For me, prior to getting behind it as Oceano being a partner to it, I need to understand the ramifications. I need to understand I need to understand the ramifications, and I need all the partners here. I need the South Slough CSD to be able to weigh in. I need Grover weighing in. I need Roy Grandy weigh in. Need is maybe not the right word, but like, I prefer to be comfortable and make a decision. And I understand this is a preliminary stage, you're out raising support, but I can't put my signature behind it until I have everybody here. That's my thinking.
On that particular point, my recommendations are still going to stand. I think maybe what your board might want to consider, because moving forward and trying to figure out how we can accomplish the objectives that Director Guerrero is identifying, is that your board might also consider then establishing an ad hoc committee to work with me in the details of working with Pismo Beach.
That'd be great. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a worthwhile project. Absolutely.
And I just wanted to thank Pismo Beach for inviting Oceano to join them. Appreciate that.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Yeah,
because so we're the coast, and we're the first people that are going to get burned if there's saltwater intrusion.
That's right.
Maybe. So where do you want to move this? That somebody make a motion to
public comment.
I know public comment.
Yes.
Trust me, I'm fully aware of public comment. I would never get in the way of public comment. So do we entertain a motion to establish a subcommittee to move forward in collaboration with the region and with Pismo Beach's lead? I'm asking a process question.
Yeah, so we have staff recommendations to support and provide direction on working on an agreement with Pismo Beach, and that's really the next step that I need to be able to pursue. In terms of establishing an ad hoc committee, it would seem to me that would be consistent with the agenda item, and you would be able to do that as well. And so I would modify my recommendations to add that additional provision of having an ad hoc committee for me to work with and working through the details of how we might develop an interagency partnership with Pismo Beach.
Okay. So does somebody want to make that? Let's do public comment. I did that on purpose, just to watch everybody get their feathers ruffled. Public comment on this topic, on the Pismo Beach Oceano collaboration.
I just want to thank the board for your time and consideration.
Thank you, Ms. Fine.
Good evening again. I'm Julie Tacker, and thank you for taking public comment. After the presentation, there are a lot of questions. I did hear some answers. Ms. Lucy, I was pleasantly pleased at your comment about the 2009 anomaly and the seawater intrusion fabrication. I agree with you that was done. That was fake. Yep. You had a bad well. It's been fixed. That well hasn't shown any sign of saltwater intrusion since. Yet, projects, grants, this project, the next project, is going to parade that banner out in front of grant providers, funding, all your ratepayers, suggesting seawater intrusion is the need for this project. Let's not kid ourselves. Pismo Beach needs you. You don't need them. They can have developers pay. They can raise their sewer rates or their water rates to cover a project like this. They can fund it. They are the wealthiest city in this county per capita. What you haven't done in your diversified water portfolio is gone into every single home and changed out every single fixture and gotten your water use down to the lowest it can be. So you continue to use 3, 4, 5 gallon flush toilets using very expensive state and Lopez water that if you cut that down, you wouldn't have to pump the groundwater. If you cut that down. So if you put your money into conservation, that's the lowest fruit, the low-lying fruit. Go get it. Wow. in the tech memo in their report, it talks about a injection well at the airport and that some 333 acre feet a year would be pulled up by well 8. Does that mean that the toilets in Pismo will be the tap in Oceano? I need to know that. Or are you piping that water back to Pismo for their use? Because that's what it looks like to me. You're going to get that water for your ratepayers, and they're paying for it through their grant eligibility. This needs a very thorough analysis, and you, it's premature to enter into an agreement. Mr. Ogren is pushing you to enter into some kind of agreement so that the project can go forward with a agreement with Oceano. That's all this is to get your name on their paperwork to say you're partners. It's premature until you do see how this project affects the South Sanitation District project. You are already our partners with Arroyo Grande and Grover Beach with the Sanitation District. And that's your first master. You've got to be true to that Sanitation District plant. Last point. They're going to send their brine to that outfall. There will always be an outfall. And if you have to have your own brine from your own plant, how much brine needs dilution? So that dilution would come from your sewer plant, because they're not going to send anymore, and you would be hampered in your ability to recycle as much water as you can. So you really do need to see the two projects together before you enter into an agreement. Go ahead, have an ad hoc committee, but don't enter into anything.
Thank you, Ms. Tacker.
Ms. Lucy, board members, my name is Jeff Edwards. And Ms. Lucy, you've repeatedly mentioned how diversified Oceano's water portfolio is, and yet your general manager now is telling you that it's not so diversified. How are you going to tell your ratepayers that they've spent millions of dollars for nothing? I find that incredulous. This district does not have a water resource problem. You have a maintenance problem. It's a wholly different problem than Pismo Beach or Arroyo Grande or Grover. They're experiencing accelerated growth. They need the water. It's beyond belief that seawater intrusion, the genie that was let out of the bottle and never put back, is still the tail wagging the dog for Mr. Ogren. You may recall that Mr. Ogren was one of the principal architects of seawater intrusion. You may remember the Central Coast Water Authority, that there was this emergency about seawater intrusion, and the CCWA was going to work a deal for excess pipeline capacity deliveries. They were going to take 3,000 acre feet. The county with Pavo at the helm was going to get a cut. You guys were going to get some. Never happened, because there never was seawater intrusion. Yet you read the grant, the earworm grant, seawater intrusion, right in there. What is this make-believe? What is this? Nonfiction or fiction? Which is it? The same cast of characters, by the way, working with Pismo, WSC, do you remember those folks? They've been on your payroll for a long time. They're not only doing the Pismo recycle plan, they're doing the South San plan. They're just getting paid by everybody. For what? You've got some other consultants, Corolo Engineers, you're going to hear more about them, Cleith Harris Geologists, Fugro. These were all folks that worked on the Los Osos wastewater project, and they were all paid handsomely, and of course Mr. Ogren hired them. So he's bringing the band back for another get-together. We talked about, or I mentioned earlier, that Mr. Ogren is being paid for regional water management. Let somebody else pay him. This district should not be paying him. who's going to pay for Mr. Ogren's staff time now working with PISMO on agreement or with the ad hoc committee? Maybe get a real-time billing agreement from PISMO so they can pay Mr. Ogren's time. That would be a benefit
thank
to
you,
your
Mr.
district.
Edwards.
Otherwise, there
Mr.
are no
Edwards,
benefits.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
No, thank you, ma'am.
Anybody else like to speak under public comment on this item? Ms. Spencer.
Thank you, President Lucy. I just wanted to thank Director Guerrero again for his immediate response that consideration needs to be given to the partnership that Oceano, Arroyo Grande, and Grover Beach already have existing. So thank you for that.
Thank you.
Madam President, is public comment closed?
Not yet.
Okay.
Is there anybody else that'd like to speak under public comment? Hearing none. It's closed now, Mr. Ogren.
So if I might provide a couple of responses to public comment. Certainly in my staff report, I identify how might partnering with PISMO affect partnering and pursuing grants if the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District chooses to implement a recycled water project? What are the cost implications to Oceano, and how will groundwater pumping allocations change? You know, these are all the types of issues that are clear in the staff report that I recognize need to be addressed in any next steps. So the sort of bully pulpit approach of some of the public comment lacks an actual reading of the staff report. The idea that the question of what was the cause of the high chloride tests in the monitoring wells a few years ago, you know, certainly we all, including myself, recognize that the wellhead was not properly sealed and that that contamination could very well have come from surface water influences. What happened in the subsequent year in 2010 is we had a lot of rain. Two things happened, actually. We had a lot of rain and the well was improved. And so to be able to draw a conclusion as to, you know, why there was poor water quality reads is a bit difficult when you have two subsequent events, both of which could have solved it. But nevertheless, we know that groundwater levels have declined. We know that there's depressions even in NCMA. We know that the groundwater elevations between NCMA and NMMA have declined. The recent reports have indicated that there could be a reversal of the gradient. And those are the very types of situations that creates concerns on our groundwater basin. In terms of having to know all of the answers of both the recycled water project as for PISMO, as well as how South County Sand District, before we even entertain any further discussion with PISMO Beach or how we might pursue a partnering agreement, if we wait for all of those things to happen, then we will not be participating in a partnering agreement with the city of PISMO Beach because they would have already moved forward without us. And the idea of the issues that were addressed through public comment and through your board discussion, those are the very issues that we'd be sitting down with PISMO Beach and trying to iron out how might those work in moving forward on a partnering agreement. So there really isn't any comments from the public that would indicate a reason to not take a next step with PISMO Beach, and there really is no risks associated with taking the next step. And so my recommendations, even after public comment, still stand.
Can you restate what the next step is, just so I understand?
Pardon me?
I'm asking him to restate what the next step is, Pavo. So I understand, just for clarity.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
well, I have the report.
So it would be simply in a partnering agreement with the city of PISMO Beach, how do we address these issues? How will groundwater pumping allocations change? What are the cost implications to Oceano? What are the water quality requirements? How might this impact our efforts and our partnering with the sanitation district? And then the other thing that I talked about a little bit earlier is how would we develop a partnering agreement so that we move forward on next steps, but we're not obligated for any implementation efforts because, in fact, we do need to see more of how this project would evolve and how South County District, South County Sand might develop their recycled water project before it would be appropriate to make a commitment on implementation. but some of those basic relationships need to be established early in order to keep these opportunities open.
No, and I think it's actually a very good idea to set up a subcommittee that works closely with PISMO to work out some of the logistics and the questions that people have. What percentage is the return? What percentage of staff time do we have to put up front and such? Because the reality is there is no other, you know, projects within a 50-mile radius, you know, that are this far along, you know. And if we did not have the water sources that we have now, Oceana would have nothing. We would have nothing coming through our pipes. So thankfully, the residents of Oceano did have a little bit of foresight and did invest in water versus trees on the curb. So on that note, I would entertain a motion to establish a subcommittee to work closely with the general manager in establishing a relationship with Pismo Beach and other regional organizations addressing water shortages. So somebody wants to make that motion.
Well, I'd like to make the motion that the general manager proposed.
Great.
And add the fact that an ad hoc committee be made, because we're just sending him to go work and see if an agreement can be reached.
I'll second that.
I would like to make a motion.
All right. Great.
That we, and there's where I always stumble. I am not an attorney.
No, but you're a good motion maker.
I would like to support the general manager's recommendation that we go on record as supporting the city, we support the City of Pismo Beach's recycling water project and direct staff to return with an interagency partnership agreement for board consideration. And at the same time, we appoint an ad hoc committee to work on the water reclamation recycling project with Pismo.
And I'll second that.
Did you get that, Marie? Okay.
I'll get it, Karen.
Is there any more discussion on this topic?
Well, I do have a comment.
It's been seconded, so you can have discussion.
I did have a similar concern about the outfall concentrations and whether or not it would hinder the sand district's opportunities. But I guess we will keep looking at that as the sand district's feasibility study happens. But I do think that this project strengthens our water supply. It enhances the basin health, including the water quality. And I think it's forward thinking about our resources that needs to happen, the resiliency.
Great. So anybody else would make comment?
I agree with Ms. Blackburn's comments. I just want the sanitation district in Roy Grandy and Grover involved in the discussion. That's
you drag them by the hair so much.
Well,
on that note, can I call the question? Okay. Let's do a roll call vote, Marie.
Was it Ms. Blackburn that did the second?
Yes. Yeah.
Thank you. Vice President White?
Your mic is off, just so you know.
What's that?
Your mic is off.
Vice President White?
Yes.
Director Blackburn?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Director Guerrero?
Not yet. So I guess that's
what's
a no.
That?
That's a no, but just because.
President Lucy?
Yes. It's 4-1.
And then no extensions. And then the next question would be setting up the ad hoc committee.
Right. How about you get your two water reps for that?
That
would be great.
Looking for the
sand
motion or some indication from the board on who those would be. We do have water reps, and then of course Mr. Guerrero is also on the sand board, and it seemed like that balance
water,
you know, some sand. Yeah, somebody from sand and somebody from water.
Like so how about me and Mary?
Okay Matt and I
I would support that.
I would too.
Yep.
Do they need So I'll make a motion that the ad hoc committee be composed of myself and President Lucy.
Second.
Okay. No discussion?
Do you need a motion on that?
He made one.
Matt, I know, but I wondered if we needed one.
Either way.
Well, we have one, and we have a second, so.
And we can do that because it's attached to the original, correct? Even though it should have been a friendly amendment, but I won't say anything. Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Passes? 5-0, Marie.
Got it.
And on that note, we have to take a 5-minute break.
Well,
Well,
we have a closed session.
No, really.
Okay.
No, we have one more item.
I understand.
Oh, we do.
Let's take a 5-minute break.
I got it.
It's 8:40.
Okay, short 5 minutes. So we have one more agenda item, which was originally 9C.
And
9C.
9C, and we moved it to 10C,
correct,
which is a will serve letter. And so, Mr. Ogren, would you like to lead us through that?
Certainly.
What's wrong?
I was wondering if you wanted to take public comment first or afterwards.
Oh, is there any public comment? Hearing none.
Okay.
Such a pleasant sound.
The so
I'm getting in trouble for that one too.
Gallegos. Gallegos. Is a little bit of a unique situation, and I wanted to get it on your board's agenda as soon as possible, although action today is not necessary. The history on this particular project is that the property owner acquired a double-wide manufactured home and had it delivered to Oceano.
And from Arizona, is that correct?
I believe it was from Arizona, that's correct. And staff and county staff and others noticed the manufactured home arriving in Oceano, and we also recognized we had no knowledge that such a development was going to occur. So Tony and I went out on site, as well as a representative from the county, and discussed with the property owner that they neither had a building permit, a will serve letter, or any of the other things that are necessary in order to do project development. I asked the property owner to immediately submit an application for a will serve letter, and they responded, and they did provide that application. And so based on that, I wanted to make sure to get this particular item on your agenda as soon as possible. However, in discussions with the planning department, it's sort of still in that preliminary process. And we have no understanding of the likelihood of the property owner actually obtaining a building permit, what the conditions of the building permit might be. But again, turning around and wanting to make sure that it got on your agenda as soon as possible, we prepared this as we normally do. You know, if it were to be approved by your board today, it would certainly be subject to getting a building permit from the County of San Luis Obispo. But at the same time, action is not necessary because they also have a number of steps that need to go forward. And so if your board were to defer this item until the property owner were to get further along in the land use and the building permit process so that you gained an understanding of their status there, we would certainly have time to be able to bring it back for future board consideration. But again, I wanted to get it on your agenda as soon as possible because of the unique situation, because the property owner had brought in a manufactured home before taking any of the permitting processes, so that you would be aware of it and be able to provide your direction as you deem appropriate.
Mr. Ogren, can I piggyback on this just a little bit? And I understand that we probably most likely should set this to the side, but and decide what the County of San Luis Obispo is doing. But I'd also like the ordinance of putting manufactured homes into residential areas. This is the second one. and there is a substantially large one going into a very visible corner in Oceano, and I'm not quite sure what the county's regulations are on slapping not modules, but portable homes, very large ones, like 1,800, 2,000 square feet on two residential lots, and if that's the direction that the residents of Oceano want to go in.
So certainly we can either have county planning come out, or we can, you know, get some feedback from them on those particular issues. I think that that's also a topic that would be directly in the purview of the Oceano Advisory Committee.
They're dealing with it.
Yes.
Now.
Yes. Actually, if I can interject, it should be on the agenda for next Monday's meeting, just so you know.
Which one? Both of them or just one?
I think just one of them, and I don't think that it's this one from what I understand,
it's
but
not.
I'm not sure. So. But I'm sure it would come with general questions or comments about the situation.
Karen?
Yeah. The staff report refers to it as a mobile home. And
it should say manufactured home.
Manufactured home.
Yes.
Is it a double wide or is it a manufactured home?
It's a double wide.
Double wide manufactured
home. Both of them are double wides.
Okay, but is there a difference between manufactured homes and double wides?
Yes. Manufacturers do not have wheels.
The question is, no, there's a double-wide manufactured home. Mobile homes are...
No.
Okay.
There are manufactured homes you bring in on trucks and put together.
That's correct, yes.
There are double-wides that you bring in on wheels and put together.
These are mobile homes. They're on wheels.
They're on wheels. And it's... My understanding, there's a difference between them.
Yes, there is.
Because in Halcyon, we have... a manufactured home. It did not come in on wheels, and it is on jacks, and it has a permanent concrete foundation around it, not just jacks.
I think that might be what's considered a prefab versus a
manufactured.
Because a mobile home is a
manufactured home.
And a mobile home is also considered a manufactured home, I believe. I have a friend who's a dealer.
So we can certainly work with county planning in order to get clarification on that as well.
Well, because I don't believe that double-wide mobile homes that come on wheels are allowed to be put permanently unless they have a permanent foundation constructed on them. And I just want to make sure. Yeah. I would be tempted to wait on this and not...
I would.
There is timing for sure.
Huh?
Yeah, there's timing for sure, because the feedback that we have from planning department is that it's still not even, it's in the queue, but they haven't started the evaluation. I simply want to get it on the agenda as soon as possible for your board's review because of the unique nature of this particular one.
Keeping in mind that the county may have it on queue or in the basket, but the structure itself has already moved into place and they are actively putting it together. So,
yes, it is on property. Both sides of the double wide have been placed on the property.
Are they joined?
Yep.
I haven't been out there, but I understand that that they've been joined and the curtain's in there.
I have a quick question. Well, they probably have to, because the truck drivers and the workers are there.
Yeah.
They probably
crew.
I have a quick question. The letter from Celia has a payment of $7,852.76, and the staff report has an amount of $9,944. I'm wondering about the difference.
Yeah, the difference relates to the off-site improvements. So in the will serve letter itself, and I cite the applicable section. So in the will serve letter under... section 1, it says payment of $7,852.76 is due, and that's for the established fees of capacity charges and meter charges. Section 2 of the will serve letter then says that they have to pay for all the off-site improvements, if applicable, and that's the difference. Is Tony came up with an estimate of about $2,000 for the off-site improvements. And so we had gotten that comment also prior to the meeting, and
And off-site for the district? I'm sorry, sir.
No, off-site of the actual property.
Oh, so the curbs, gutters, and sidewalks?
No, the need to put in another lateral in order to be able to service.
Oh, so you're strictly thinking of water?
Yes.
And sewer?
Yes.
Okay.
And so that's the difference. And that off-site cost is based on time and materials. So the board letter provides what our current estimate of it. The will serve letter still states that it's time and materials. And so what we'll do in subsequent board letters is to make sure to better explain that difference.
All right. Thank you.
Do we know how large a lot this is or anything about this lot? Or
it's a 50 by 140.
Yeah, other than it's a basic standard size lot. And
50 by 140.
Yeah, in Oceano. So.
Zone single family?
No. R4.
Oh, okay.
But there's, you don't have enough square footage. But no, there's no lot line adjustments or anything.
They're just adding a secondary unit.
Roller on in.
Yeah, and probably.
Okay, so I would recommend that the board table this until the other entities that are involved catch up, which is the county.
And perhaps the
Oceano Advisory Committee hears it, and that all the proper channels are taken, and the community.
And that's the feedback
that decides whether they want these structures.
And then that's the feedback that I can provide to the property owner then.
Yes.
I have a question. Is there any way of asking them to stop setting up for a permanent fixture there in the meantime? Because this might take a month or two. In the meantime, if they continue to build, it's going to be done and in place except for the water and sewer lines.
So in terms of the structure and the code enforcement questions and possible code violations, that has to be done by the County of San Luis Obispo.
Okay.
We will keep an eye on it to, as best as we can, monitor to make sure that they don't hook up water to the dwelling unit or hook up any sewer to the unit.
There's an existing house already there, too, isn't
there? There is.
Yep.
Because I drove by it, and I didn't see anything but an older home sitting there.
So
but I didn't go any further around the block either.
Because the house is much smaller than the mobile.
The most challenging aspect to us would be able to identify if they ran a hose bib from their main structure to the, because that, we don't have the ability to look over fences and to peer. We can only observe from where we can stand in the public right-of-way. And so if they were to do hose bibs in the backyard, it would be very difficult for us to be able to observe that. However, we do know where their sewer connection is. It's in the front of their yard. And so in order to be able to connect to the sewer system, we would be able to observe any activities in the front yard in order to hook up to the existing sewer lateral. And
if they haven't happened already, right?
There's no indication that that's happened already. And so the trenching activities that would be involved in trying to hook up to their existing sewer lateral, we would think would be very much something we'd be able to observe. And so that's what we can really keep our eye out for. If they were to build a hose bib so that they could use a little bit of water, like in a kitchen sink, and then it came out and they used it as gray water to water some plants, that's the type of scenario that might be very hard for us to observe. But anything significant in connection to a wastewater, I have a higher level of confidence that we'd be able to observe those. And if we do, then we would provide a notice of a violation of our rules and regulations.
Well, I would think the county would tell them to stop whatever they're doing until they get the permit processing done.
Well, and we can follow up with the county on any of the code enforcement efforts. Now, it's not just with the county, but a lot of land use agencies, when they see these type of efforts, what they do is they tell them to get a permit in order to be able to address it through the permitting process. If applicants then fail to put in a permit and to try to get it done the right way, then that's when you would expect them to start having code enforcement showing up and taking the stronger arm approach. We do know that the property owner has initiated that permitting process as well as initiating the will serve process, so at least they're taking procedural steps. A lot of details still need to be addressed. But when both we and the county representatives met with them, on the street, essentially, they definitely made statements of they're going to do all of it. So they've initiated it. We brought, you know, I made sure to get this on the board so that your board can give staff direction, and we'll take it one step at a time.
Okay. So can we get an agreement that this be tabled?
Yes.
Until the other entities, and mainly to hear the Oceano Advisor Committee's recommendation on future use of these
I make a motion.
That sounds good.
I make a motion that we table the WillServe request from the Cayugas applicants until there is evidence of a permit from the county to put the put it on the property. I think they need to have the building permit or the permits they need from the county in hand before we connect to them. And I also feel that we should then, when that's all done, we should rapidly move forward on our responsibilities to them once they meet their responsibilities to us.
Do I hear a second?
A second.
Okay, all those in favor of the theory?
Aye.
Of the
aye.
Aye. Okay.
Post. Me too.
I'm staying. Okay. Is there any more public comment tonight? Hearing none. I'll let legal counsel describe what happens in that exciting behind closed doors.
Okay. We'll adjourn to closed session pursuant to Government Code 54957.6, conference with labor negotiators, agency designated representatives, or the general manager, the employee organization, services employee, international union 620. Pursuant to Government Code 54956.9B3C, conference with legal counsel regarding receipt of a claim pursuant to the Tort Claims Act. There is one case. Pursuant to Government Code 54956.9D4, conference with legal counsel to determine whether to initiate litigation. One case.
Okay. And once again, do I hear any public comment on closed session items? Hearing none.
And just a matter of the Carol, we did get a request for a copy of the tort claim from the public. I consulted with legal counsel, and we provided that copy in advance of your closed session, as required.
Okay.
Out of close. No reportable action.
I'll move to adjourn.
Oh. Second.
No, not quite there yet.
Hang on. Oh, we have one more item. Sorry. We have received communications.
Yeah. And so this had to do with the question posed to the Sand District Council on whether or not OCSD was following the rules in the appointment and representation at the Sand District meetings, and Best and Krieger seemed to be coming out with a very unequivocal opinion that Oceano is, in fact, adhering to legal requirements.
One slight comment, because when this came up was at the beginning of the year when we first discussed this, and I discussed this and made my analysis at that time that it was fine, and also spoke with Mike Seitz, the Sand District's legal counsel, came to the same conclusion, was still being challenged, so the Sand District decided to get a third independent legal opinion from Best and Krieger, and the result was that was in agreement with our analysis, so it's...
Well, I would disagree that it was, with the characterization, that it was still being challenged. It was only challenged once it wasn't Grover or AG, because they were doing the same thing for years. And that was the custom and practice. You know, for example, Joe Costello went on behalf of AG for a long time, and then Glenn Marshall went for about a year and a half on behalf of Grover Beach. So, and that was the last year and a half when Debbie was mayor, when Debbie Peterson was mayor, and she didn't go. So, you know, it was not, I got to say, it was not well received that this criticism was brought up in a very emotional way about a month ago by the AG alternate, Tim Brown. It was not well received at all.
And, you know, it's actually common tactics to take an underserved population and try to suppress their input or their participation as much as possible, because most of the time things like this will not be challenged. And so when I attended the Sand District as a ratepayer, because I have that right to be a ratepayer and speak on behalf of ratepayers, then it became a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just another form of, you know.
I'm not sure, but I thought that the opinion even was spoke to the idea that even as another board member, you have every right.
I could speak on behalf of OCSD, but, you know, just being the person that I am, I would always come back to this board and say I'd like to speak on behalf of OCSD. Otherwise, I represent the ratepayers when I attend those meetings. I never represent OCSD.
I always thought your comments, your ability to make comments, were fine. And obviously,
but the minute I made a comment, that's when they had a fit.
Well, yeah. And the interesting thing was that Mr. Brown, who was sitting as alternate that night, often would make comments 3-4 times a night. And
yes.
And then talk about how offended he was that Mary would come and make comments.
Right.
So
it's,
it was,
you know,
it was just,
I think
it's
that
resolved.
From a legal perspective, right. it's always good when you have these situations to get an independent opinion, and I think the Sand Districts did a service.
I thought it was the right thing to do.
I thought it was too.
In doing that, it was a good way to solve the problem without.
But I think it's also good that the public also knows what's happening. You know, these are the kind of things that they think that are behind the scenes, but they're really not. They're in the forefront. So, and it does slow up progress from moving forward. On that note, is there anything else for the agenda for next busy week? Hearing none, you know where Mr. Ogren is. Do you have anything you'd like to offer or add? Just send it his way. And on that note,
thank you, everybody.
Adjourn this meeting.
And we'll note that adjournment was exactly at 9:30 tonight.
Right. Thank you, AGP.
Mary.
Thank you.
Mary.